Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new, amazing app.
This one's a game changer.
There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more.
Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen.
And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more.
So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself.
Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.
Daredevil Events and Carolla Drinks present Rock at the Shop featuring Loxy.
Oh, man, I hear you begging, please. Ain't my decision to be kind.
July 29th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo, California.
But I can't help you go.
Loxy. Plus, the smoking kills.
Just another Southern California.
Rock at the Shop, July 29th.
Now the pretty girls start to look the same.
Carolla Drinks presents Rock at the Shop with Loxy and the smoking kills. Hosted by comedian Matt Edgar. July 29th at South Bay Customs, 115 Penn Street, El Segundo, California. Get your tickets now at CarollaDrinks.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and today, we'll find out who the F sells this S. And now, his family was so cheap, they would have bought crap on Craigslist, but they never would have paid for internet access. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball Ryan.
I don't hunt gay men.
Simple, short.
Yeah.
Sweet.
If you, it's like a long list of things I could come up with, which as a nation, if you have to deny, like if you have to deny ethnic cleansing,
this is very existence.
Genocide.
Is this your international Foxworthy bit? If you have to deny
you
genocide,
might be a war criminal.
you might be.
I've always said, like,
it's guilty of war crimes.
Because Mark Garagus is Armenian. And
what?
Armenians are, they want the Turks to admit the genocide. Yeah. The Turks won't give an inch on it. But
Say you're sorry.
I've always said denying a genocide is like denying your snoring when the person next to you wakes you up in the middle of the night and goes, you were snoring. Like, you were snoring. I've dealt with a lot of human beings in my life where they just go, I don't snore. It's like, you may not be a snorer, but you're snoring now. Like,
you'd literally be the last person who would know. So why are you weighing
also,
in?
Wouldn't it make me an insane person? Like, I don't think people do enough of this. Wouldn't I be not only insane, but one of the worst people you know? If my MO was while you silently and blissfully sleep and slumber in peace at 4:37 in the AM, I shake you violently and tell you to stop doing something that you're not doing.
Could we reverse
engineer this? Yeah. What when you say to me, I don't snore and I wasn't snoring, what does that make me? That makes me super bored in the wee hours of the night.
Like, makes you a sadist.
It makes me a sadist, but it also makes me insane.
Correct.
I kind of say the same thing about genocide, which is if a whole nation accuses your nation of genocide and you have nothing to do with it, that's a pretty insane assertion, right?
Hey, bro, we've been friends for a long time, right?
Yep.
Years, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And this roommate thing's working out. When I asked you to move in 6 months ago and you said, all right, I was nervous, of course, you know, friendships and all that stuff.
Yep.
But last night, middle of the night,
yep,
you committed genocide.
I don't genocide, dude.
Well, it'd be weird of me to make that up, but I'm telling you, as your friend, I don't think anyone's going to tell you this. You probably know I've told you this before in your life.
Mm.
You committed genocide last night.
I may have killed an extreme number of a certain people, but I don't think that falls under the heading of genocide.
Well, we're surrounded by bodies, and they're all of the same race, and you definitely seem single-minded in purpose, so...
Yeah, I may confuse these metaphors, but next time just turn on the ceiling fan and mellow out.
I gotta drown it out?
Yeah,
okay.
Drown out the genocide.
I'll try that.
With the slow white noise, ceiling fan.
I'm not judging.
I'm just saying, if somebody is accusing you of ethnic cleansing, genocide, snoring, or cleansing your lands of gays, first off, what I would call a tell is you saying, there is no gay here. Like that, oh, okay, so yeah. Maybe there is.
You just cut the road to go down. Much.
Yeah. No, I do not do that.
Right.
Is one road you can go down?
Yeah, the proper answer is not that there is no gays, or that Allah would not allow gays, or that the gays should move to Canada. The proper answer for, well, let's just go to Trudeau in Canada. I hear you've been rounding up, persecuting, torturing, and driving off gay people. What? That's what he's talking about.
Where would you have heard something like that?
I don't even know what that means. Yeah. That's the answer. We have no gay.
Frankly, I'm offended you would bring it up.
If nobody's gay.
When they asked R. Kelly if he's interested in teenage girls, and instead of saying, what? No, he goes, well, how old is teenage?
Right. Teenage covers six,
wide
7 years.
Sloth.
Yeah.
She could be 19.
Yeah. In many cultures, by the way, whenever there's in many cultures. That's when the scientists go, when they do that. Well, now, there's a bear that's indigenous to the Galapagos Islands who likes to spit on their partner when they have sex. So don't tell me it doesn't exist.
It's in nature.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right. We got some phone calls there. Gina was in the car listening to OJ.
Yeah. I had to hear that verdict.
Did they deliver the verdict?
They sure did.
I'm curious. I would like to remain consistent on my thoughts as it pertains to OJ, and I think consistent in life, which is I don't like feelings one way or the other. I don't like feelings. Nothing more than feelings. I don't like them sort of running things. And as much as I believe OJ is guilty, and as much as I wanted him punished, and as much as I think there's a corner in hell carved out for OJ, later on when he commits another crime, I'm not really into, well, this was somebody else. Yeah. We wouldn't really do it, but because it's you now, we're giving it to you. It flies in the face of the law. Of the system that we have in place. And it's one of those, hey, it's flawed, and hey, it's, you don't like it, but it's the best system we have. And the system is screwed up in a lot of different ways. And I think we should be consistent, which is, or at least for me, when Mike Nifong tries to get everyone in Duke Lacrosse thrown in a pit and buried alive for a crime that never happened, I'm outraged at that guy trying to do this to this group of red-haired kids over this black exotic dancer. Mm. But I'm going to be consistent now, say, when this horrible black man is being railroaded in much the same fashion, even though he did something heinous, but this is a separate crime, and I think we can all agree that we want this to just be consistent. I don't now I can't stop anyone in the jury, if there was, or was this all judge stuff?
Parole board. I
can't stop the people who are in the jury for being sort of tainted, like, screw OJ. I want this guy to get the maximum. I can't stop that. I don't really like it, but I can't stop it. But the idea that most informed people think he's done three times the amount of time you would do for the same crime.
Right, that's the judge.
I think this is a question for Garagos, but I think the jury delivered the guilty verdict, and the judge said you got 30 years or whatever it was.
I know I hate slippery slope guy, but it's definitely slippery slope when we're trying things and using some of our thoughts and feelings about a trial that happened 10 years earlier and going, this is going to affect this.
You're right, because the irony is those laws are, there are laws about that. They're set up to protect people. Like, you can't be tried for breaking into someone's hotel room and holding them at gunpoint, and they can't say, he was acquitted, by the way, of another, of a murder, like, you know, 5 years ago. Like, you can't bring that in. But the one time you bring it in and it hurts you is O.J. Simpson.
And it was over 10 years ago before, I believe. But anyway, so I don't like that, but I don't like OJ. It's just like I would like a system that was very consistent and a sort of case by case. That being said, I wanted to talk to Garrigus, and I brought it up to him for a little bit, and Garrigus is very much with me on this, which is we talk about, hey, get that Garcetti clip ready. Did spoiler alert, did he get paroled?
He did.
Yay! He did. Oh,
but
good.
The good news is now he has more time to go look for the killer.
Our mayor, Eric Garcetti, has
he'll be flipping the coin at a USC game this year.
Our mayor, Eric Garcetti, has thoughts about OJ.
Oh, he does.
I think he's.
Oh, because Gil Garcetti was the.
Yes.
Gil Garcetti was there. And now
the DA?
Eric has delivered a speech, which is for people who have been paroled from prison and how we should act accordingly. So all you listen up, the mayor of Los Angeles, OJ may move back to Los Angeles, and if he does, listen to how we should treat him.
When we invest in people, we don't know where things will turn out. But when people have paid their debt to society, our debt of gratitude should be not just thanking them for serving that time, but allowing them a pathway back in.
All right. Thank OJ if you see him on the street.
Thank you for your service.
And if he needs a gig babysitting or maybe doing some light housework or yard work, welcome him in. So says Garcetti, right? What's the difference between OJ and anyone else who's let out of prison? We owe them a debt of gratitude.
Thank him.
He didn't claim he was on cold medicine or anything.
He's an insane person.
Yeah, that's pretty. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
He is in a head-to-head battle with Trudeau from Canada to have some sort of puss off, where it's like, who can just be the softest human being on the planet? They just got done giving $10 million to a guy who was fighting with Al Qaeda and killed an American and got thrown in Guantanamo Bay. Trudeau just gave him $10
million. Oh, is Canada?
Dollars. Yeah. They're in some sort of weird battle to see, like, who's softer? I don't know other word to say, but just weird soft.
Did it reach Trudeau for comment? It's like, I'm sorry, I was painting. What did he say?
Yes.
Of course, I was like, damn it, Trudeau!
I was bathing in Charmin. Okay. You can find that story. It's a pretty insane story. But anyway, I think that's because the guy killed an American, and I was a little bit of an FU.
And they're cool with that.
To us. They gave him $10.5 million.
Well, they are America's hat.
Okay, so, OJ. So we should all thank him for his service and give him we owe him our gratitude for being incarcerated and pulling guns or whatever. Look, it's not just, sometimes it can just be statutory rape. Sometimes it can be strong-arming and robbing a liquor store, whatever it is. Make sure and show these people your gratitude as a taxpayer for all they've done. Mm-hmm. In terms of the paying their time.
High five, low five, any five will do.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
The headline says, Canada to give former Al-Qaeda killer $8 million and apology for Guantanamo treatment.
I think it's 10 and a half Canadian, I think it is, and probably eight us. Mm. But Gary, you can search that story a little bit more. Anyway, we owe him our gratitude.
That is correct, but all the headlines converted it into American. But yes, second graph, it says $10.5 million Canadian dollars.
So our little pea brains can understand.
Okay, so now, OJ, I was talking to Garrigus about this, and he and I are simpatico on, I've said this my entire career into a microphone, I am interested in people being in prison who pose a threat. Not a threat to themselves, a threat to me, a threat to my family, neighbors,
society.
You, coworkers, society. The junkies, the Johns, the consensual crime people, not that interested in having them locked up in a cage. But conversely, when I hear the stories of the guy who oh, he broke into a house. He grabbed an 11-year-old girl. He was dragging her into the woods. He was caught by an off-duty highway patrolman. He never did rape or kill the girl. He was just caught in the act of unzipping his pants and dragging her in her nightgown into a wooded area in a headlock. But he didn't rape her. He didn't kill her. He didn't really even harm her. And thank God the off-duty patrolman was there. So what are we going to do with this guy? Put him in an incinerator. That's what I want. I don't want, oh, he gets 4 years, and the junkie gets 4 years. Or the guy who had his third DUI, he gets 4 years. First off, you were trying to do this mm-hmm. thing. You thought it would be a good
you
idea.
You hoped it would end this way.
Right.
Except for, and you are capable of breaking into someone's house at 3 a.m., going into a girl's room, getting her in a headlock, and completely terrifying her and dragging her into the woods. You, my friend, thought this is a good was a good idea. Yes, you did not rape anyone. Yes, you didn't kill anyone. Yes, you may not even physically harm, certainly mentally harm someone for the rest of their life. I would like that factored in, that this poor girl is going to have night terrors for the rest of her life. But had that guy not come along, you would have destroyed this person's life, literally or just emotionally. And for that, for what your plan was, I would like you put away forever. Because I really just have two people. I have people that can do this and people that can't. And the people that can't, can't. You can't.
Yeah, it's on the
I
table.
Can't. Dawson, Mike. I no. That's how jokes work. See? No, we cannot. It's unthinkable. It's not even doable. If someone said, I'll give you $1 million, I'm going to duck to your girl. If you don't do it, you just go, I cannot physically do this. And then there are the people who can. And when you can do anything.
The last thing you see is Dawson over you with a knife.
Later, Hosen.
All right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And when we then get that person who can, that person I would like plucked out and in there. And especially when that person is 19 or 21. Because that person can for another two decades.
I'm a smoker. You have no idea what I'm capable of.
Oh, wow, that's right. That's talk to true. Natalia.
Yeah. And I hate in movies or in anything when they say, you know, you drunk driver, whatever, the person you hit still in the hospital, you better pray that he doesn't die because that'll be another charge.
Right.
Well, what's the difference?
And according to Natalia, smoking is worse than abducting and raping anyway. So you're already ahead.
Oh, Brian.
I'm going to leave that there.
All right. Brett is on the phone. Brett Rampel. He's a specialist in he's an expert in nuclear. So I will get to him in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Geico, man. Everyone's got the to-do list. Gene, I'm going to leave it to you to remind me. Get right on my list, my Gergis thoughts about inmates, and we'll bring it back to OJ. Ah, to-do list. Yes. Pick up the dry cleaning. Drop off the dry cleaning. Get the milk. What? Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't even have to leave the house. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Why wouldn't you do that? Put a little extra money in your pocket. Go to geico.com. 15% could be saved in just 15 minutes. Brett. Hey, Brett.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Brett, I left my glasses at home, and I'm having trouble reading today. So how about you just brag about yourself for a second and why we should listen to you about anything nuclear, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, so absolutely. I appreciate it. I'm a speaker for the American Nuclear Society. American Nuclear Society is a group of 11,000 nuclear professionals around the country. You're talking about scientists and technical experts, utilities and vendor employees and stuff like that. I received a master's and bachelor's in nuclear engineering from the University of Florida, go Gators. And I'm the previous chair of the American Nuclear Society's young members group.
32 and years of age.
Yes, sir.
And so first off, couple things. And so why Brett is on the program is because Mike August heard us talking about this over the last few days and booked Brett to come clear a few things up.
How can you hear over all the chewing?
The first things, when you talk about the military and the submarines and the aircraft carriers, what is that nuclear versus this nuclear?
So it's very similar. I mean, we have the American Nuclear Society has members from the armed forces. The nuclear that you see in the nuclear navy is kind of what drove the development of the commercial nuclear industry in America. And the nuclear navy, you know, as you mentioned previously on your show, displaces so much diesel by allowing our aircraft carriers to continue steaming and our submarines to always be, under the seas protecting us, and you couldn't do that without nuclear power.
What was
a different way of doing it?
Yeah, I'll put you on the spot here, but I was imagining the millions of barrels of diesel or coal, what fired a battleship circa World War II, and how much, what kind of carbon footprint that would be just getting over to striking distance of Japan, the mainland, or whatever it was, versus what it is now. But do you know any of those numbers, Brett?
So I could tell you, I'm not a military guy, and a lot of that stuff can be kind of classified, actually. But a nuclear aircraft carrier or a nuclear submarine, those go maybe 20 years. At a minimum, without refueling. So think about the amount of diesel fuel that any sort of comparable ship would use in a similar time. The American nuclear-powered aircraft carriers actually carry bunkers of fuel inside of them, and because they have the reactors, they're able to carry that fuel to refuel other ships at sea. And, without that, those ships would not be able to keep up with the aircraft carrier.
Gary, right, the conventional style. Gary says that 1,000 gallons an hour to propel a battleship.
Right.
That's of diesel, I'm guessing. Well, you know what percentage of our Navy is still running on diesel versus nuclear?
Oh, we're a diesel Navy, predominantly. It's a small portion is nuclear. The only thing that you've got in the nuclear Navy are the aircraft carriers and the submarines. We're retrofitting our aircraft carrier fleet right now, building a whole new generation of them, nuclear-powered aircraft carriers. And I'm not sure how many are at sea right now, but that number, I believe, is around 10 to 12 for aircraft carriers. And then you're talking about tens of, nuclear submarines.
Yeah,
and,
which, by the way, if you want to run a diesel engine, you need air. It's got to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can't go under the polar caps and breathe. That, I mean, you can run on batteries. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that engine needs to breathe. Your engine doesn't need a snorkel.
Nope.
So the deal is you basically, it's like a steam engine. You take in the unlimited supply of water because you're in the ocean, you heat it up using nuclear and it steams and turns the turbines. Am I right on this?
So I'm pretty sure that the nuclear power plants in the submarines and the aircraft carriers are closed systems, so they have a fixed amount of water in them. They may get, the water, if you run water through a reactor, it becomes radioactive.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you're not really going to be discharging it.
So it's closed. So yeah.
So
it goes into gas, and then it goes back into liquid.
Yeah, that's in the commercial side of the. We would call that a boiling water reactor. That reactor has everything going on in a single loop. It boils in that loop. It goes to a turbine and is radioactive. The turbine's radioactive. The other side of the commercial fleet is pressurized water reactors. And they have two loops. They are producing steam and a steam generator and everything, and it's a little bit different.
What is Europe's newest nuclear facility, and then how far ahead of us are they? Since I hear that, it's something like maybe France has, 60% of their energy from nuclear, something that we wouldn't think of.
It's more than that. I believe the number is closer to 80% in France being nuclear, but with the changing political tides, they have talks about going down to 50 now. In actuality, it's not, in my opinion, so much Europe that's driving it anymore. It's China and Russia.
Which, right.
You know, not a lot of people like to hear.
No, that's why I'm bringing up France, because we're so stupid. If China's doing something or Russia's doing something, going, even if it's effective,
knee-jerk
we go,
reaction.
Not for us. Yeah. No. But France.
What else you got?
Well, okay. Tell me more.
Yes. So, yeah. Well, how long? But we basically stopped in the mid-70s, right?
Right.
And they kept going. And thus, whether it's China, France, or Russia, what does a state-of-the-art facility look like in 2017 versus one of ours? I mean, everyone picture the car your parents were driving in 1975, and now picture a new Audi R8, and tell me if you can tell there's a difference.
So I work for a company, and that company is called NuScale Power, and that company is in the process of trying to get a license for a new reactor design. That's a small reactor. It's called a small modular reactor, so it's scalable in power. We've had engagement with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which is our big regulator, to talk about having this small reactor or this small power plant, because it's multiple reactor plants, have a much smaller protected footprint. So you're talking about 35 acres, because it's less of a risk and everything. And whereas the current older plants and the previous generation, you're talking about miles of exclusion area. So a current, you know, design or a state-of-the-art plant is smaller. It works passively. You can walk away from it, and it'll turn itself off if, you know, everybody disappeared from around it and everything one day. It is a much, much different animal. And on top of that, we have a massive growth in the advanced reactor area. Startups, private capital that we've never seen before, and those are technologies that would seem extremely exotic. Liquid metals, salts, things like that. And those plants offer, you know, incredibly different opportunities.
So do we have the political will to do this now? Is it different than it was in the 70s?
So in the 70s, we had, you know, Three Mile Island, which, of course, was, you know, an issue for everybody, scared a lot of people, and that put a pause on things. And it was thought that, you know, we would come back and we would restart everything. However, my industry kind of, you know, failed a little bit in the PR battle, and that pause turned into this, you know, problem that we've been in forever. We saw a revitalization of it in George W. Bush's time with repealing of some executive orders. We saw a lot of additional funding in the Obama administration. And there's some optimism associated with Trump administration, because he's now appointed, he's trying to fill a Nuclear Regulatory Commission chairmanship that we haven't seen filled in a long time. So there does seem to be a lot more discussion of nuclear in the public sphere and the political side of things. It's really a money thing. It's a money, economics, and regulation thing. And, you know, sometimes you got to put your money where your mouth is.
Do you see, I've spoke to, there's a guy named John Campion, who I interviewed for Take a Knee. Very interesting guy. Started off as an electrician, then he turned into a roadie. Then he started making generators, because when the Rolling Stones would play a festival in the middle of a cow field, they needed the electricity and they couldn't run an extension cord. Yeah. And then he started a company that made mobile generators that could generate for huge venues and huge picture all those concerts in the middle of the desert. Then he started getting into villages. It's a lot of villages that need power, natural gas stuff, and building these sort of modular generators. People don't realize we take everything for granted here, and we're ugly Americans, but no power means no progress. Just know everything. Just whatever advancement into the modern age. If you don't have power, if you can't have air conditioning, if you can't have all the things that power brings, you cannot get out of third world status. I like this idea of these smaller modular units that are more mobile and can be set up from place to place to place instead of the one giant amusement park that just patches it out. Does that make sense to you, Brett?
Absolutely. So there's two realms of thought on that. There's the micro reactors and the kind of small modular reactor like what my company's doing. The design that my company's trying to license would be like for 30,000 to 300,000 homes, whereas the big power plants that are being built in Georgia and South Carolina are more like 1 million homes. A micro reactor, that...
Oh, power went out.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right.
You know what I was hoping we'd get to ask him about is thorium, because that caller yesterday said, well, thorium's the way, so I bet he would...
I was watching. All right, he's dropped out. I was
charge up your phone, son.
Brett, you there? Okay, I'll put him on. Look, it's fine. Hey, don't bother getting Brett back. I'll just tell you that it's Brent Rand Paul, and he's 32, and his organization is American Nuclear Society, and website ANS.org. That's fine. The thorium. I watched a small video on sort of pros and cons. I talk about stuff. I like this deal I have with you people. I talk about stuff, and then you guys send me stuff that goes, here's why you're right, here's why you're wrong, or sometimes here's why you're right and wrong. Mm-hmm. Here it is. And I looked at it, whether it's about traffic or energy or whatever it is.
Brian merging all messed up on the freeway.
That was funny to me. But
did it today.
He was like, you must... They get English guys to do it, so you believe them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they go, you must rethink everything you thought about traffic. Widening lanes has a detrimental effect on traffic. Actually, more cars. The only thing that works is the thing that Brian won't do. I was like,
metering lights work.
But the thorium thing, said, yeah, it's good. It's better in terms of waste, and there is a future in it.
And you can't make bombs out of it, apparently.
That was a lot of it, yeah. So I'm interested in whatever works, everybody. That's it. No agenda. It's weird. I don't know why. I'll tell you what your underpants agenda should be. Tommy John, man. It's only going to get hotter out there, more humid. Let's get ready for those swampy conditions in the nether regions. Old school cotton boxers can't handle the extra sweat. Not this time of year. It's too much, like that air conditioning in the RV as we're heading through.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Passing the turnoff for Pahrump.
Oh, could have used a micro reactor.
Couldn't hang it. Back couldn't on. Hang anymore. You put the kibosh on the swamp butt. Let's go with Tommy John. Moisture wicking fabric pulls perspiration right off your body. Dries 4 to 5 times faster. Patented fabric technology means it's impossible to get a wedgie. It'll be the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's guaranteed, by the way, for free. So, best pair you'll ever wear, or you get it for free. Guaranteed. Stay cool all summer long with Tommy John. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Dawson.
I know this isn't the protocol, but I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now because I got to set up an event and then MC it for you later today. And it's going to be about 6-7 hours of heavy sweating. TommyJohn.com. Hurry to TommyJohn.com now and use code Adam to save 20% on your first order. That's code Adam at TommyJohn.com for 20% off TommyJohn.com.
All right. So real quick, what I was talking with Garrigus about is I have this. I would like to, when it comes to parolees, when it comes to anything, I just pretty much want a scale. And it's
held by a woman with a blindfold?
That's right. I'd like to move her up to a D cup this time around.
We can make adjustments.
It's basically, it's the, it's my Pat scale. Pose a threat.
Okay, all right.
Pat scale.
That's right. That's right. It's Pat. Pose a threat. And when you tell me the guy's 70s got arthritic knees and blah blah blah, as a former prosecutor, Garrigus's dad was a former prosecutor, and he just basically said, if you'd like to get rid of all crime, you just get rid of all males between 18 and 25. That is who commits
the lion's
all
share, yeah.
of the violent crime, all males between 18 and 25. After that, nobody cares. And before that, nobody cares. So if you're in that demographic, I'd like to take an extra look. We got a lot of old guys like rotting in prison that are just kind of broken and they just don't pose a threat. Yeah. So what I would kind of like to do, but I was thinking like, how do we do this? Yeah. The newest episode of Reasonable Doubt has that on it. How do we do that? I think we do this. I think every parole hearing, mm-hmm. we do this. We go into the chamber, like before we go out in front of the parole.
The board.
Yep. Board. And we have a company, the convict, the guard he hates the most.
Okay.
You see Green Mile?
Sure.
Like that guy.
Percy.
Yeah.
Percy.
The guy he hates the most. Or
Percy comes trotting out.
Yeah, or even, that Sean Penn movie when he was in the joint.
Oh, Christ.
You know, with Susan Sarandon.
The underrated, yeah. Whatever. But anyway, we have that guard come in, right? Uh-huh. And then we have my plant prisoner. This guy's just an actor. We use him, same guy from the ADT commercial.
Yeah.
Good looking guy, but he hasn't shaved in 3 days.
No one will suspect him.
Has he been in prison this whole time?
Bad boys.
That's a tough draw.
I'll work it out. This guy's good enough.
He better be getting more than scale.
And they sit there, and what we do is we tell the guard,
Percy,
you come in, and you just kind of leave your nightstick. Just pull it out, like when you sit down on the bench, pull it out for comfort, like just sit on the bench next to you. Then I'm going to have you fall asleep. Then I have my guy from the ADT commercial, good-looking blonde guys into forced entry and rape.
Of course.
After parties.
Yep.
That guy says, hey, he fell asleep. You're never going to get another shot at him. His billy club's right there.
He's a chance. He's been riding you for years.
You got a chance to get out of here. You pick up that stick. Give one good whack across forehead and hand the stick to me because I'm a lifer.
I'll take the fall.
I'm not going anywhere.
They can't get me for any longer.
This guy's been riding you like a rented mule for 12 to 18 years. Take that stick, crack him once across the temple, hand me the stick, and they'll go out and get paroled.
You'd be crazy not to.
Right. And if that guy says, good idea, boom, no parole for you.
Snared. Like
no parole for you. But if the guy says, listen, that's the old me.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm moving on. I found Jesus Christ. I'm turned the page. If he says any of that, then it's instant parole. We don't have to go through.
That's good.
We don't have to go through this.
Could be the textbook definition of entrapment because he wasn't planning on committing that crime.
I know. They do textbook. They call leaving the goddamn keys in a car in bad neighborhood entrapment. Like, look, you could get Sonny, who, by the way, was playing a video game last night, which was Batman versus Superman, the video game. But he put on the parental control so there wouldn't be any foul language.
Wow.
Imposed it on himself.
If you wrote that into a character, they'd be like, drop it. No one would believe it.
Sonny could walk past that car with the keys in it 200,000 times. Mm-hmm. And you could tell him, Batman and Superman are actually having a fight across town, and you could witness it if only you could get there in the next 20 minutes. And he would still walk past that car 200,000 times. Don't give me this entrapment BS. Yeah. This, you are a criminal and or a bad person.
Looking for opportunities.
This society has come off the rails when we're like, hey, what do you expect that kid to do? Not steal the car? Not get himself involved with Grand Theft Auto.
What would you and Ray have done?
We would have walked past the car.
What?
Absolutely. And we were not good kids. Mm. I was poor. I was very poor. I was very desperate. I was very everything. But I realized that that was wrong.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't my car. And even though I was poor, didn't mean I needed to make the other person sort of de facto a little poor. Ray was the exact same way. Ray'd punch any friend of his, get anyone in headlock, do anything. But if something wasn't his property, it wasn't his property. Mm. It just wasn't his jurisdiction.
Okay.
All of my friends who were, you know, drug addicts and violent to each other and broke the law and just self-destructed and did everything, still left everyone else's stuff alone. Nobody stole anyone's tools on a, you know, we worked on construction sites when tools were expensive and we were poor and there'd be saws left around. So no one would steal. It's not your tool. It's not because we're not amoral. It's not where you're poor. This notion of striking poor up to criminalities, it's pretty insulting to poor people.
Yeah.
It used to be called poor and proud. And
I just assumed it fell under the heading of prank, but I see what you're saying about other people's stuff.
We would definitely prank. If somebody we knew left their keys in their car, we would take the car and drive it into a swimming pool. If we didn't know the person, then it wasn't our car and it wasn't our business. All right.
If they had the misfortune of knowing you. They'd have to get their car.
So Garrigus's thing is, if you pose a threat, my thing is, Pat, pose a threat.
Where are you on the Pat scale?
I want you in. Yeah, if you don't pose a threat, I'll let you out.
But in this case, in the OJ case, I mean, if you're taking in the whole of OJ, where do you think he stands on the Pat scale?
He's 70, and that's a big deal.
He gets a new girlfriend. When he was, 62? However many years ago it was.
Right.
5, 6, 7 years ago.
I don't like him.
Is he an outlier on your scale?
Well, the scale is two things. One is pose a threat, but the other part is if you've termed out of something that was already a pretty long term, I can't hold you any longer. But I'm assuming he does not pose a threat. And as a matter of fact, he only kind of posed a threat to guys who may have been dealing in whatever that shady world is of
memorabilia.
Right, memorabilia, contraband, or bootleg, whatever. It's not you and I.
Or dating his ex-wife.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Or I'm saying as a whole.
Or returning glasses.
Or returning glasses, yeah.
Right. They were prescription.
How many amongst us? How many can there be now?
The whole story about Ron and her dating, it never quite...
Yeah, I don't know if they... concluded they were...
My whole point with that is it's never been something that's ever really been made much of, and I don't know if it existed or not. I know when I was 28 and there was a super hot blonde who lived up the road and my manager said, oh, she forgot her glasses. Hey, Pepe, when you're done cleaning the dishes, why don't you ride your Schwinn over? I'd be like, I got this would be what I would say. So I'm assuming he was a nice guy, but I'm also assuming that's how 27-year-old dudes are wired. She frequented the place. Mm-hmm. She must have...
They're at least friendly.
When you're 20-something years old and a really beautiful blonde comes in your restaurant a lot, you notice.
Right.
I don't know what went on past that. I do know that Faye Resnick... owed on a dime bag,
so that
and that's why the drug cartels from Mexico
out.
Came. Yeah. I do love when people do that one.
There's a real grasping of straws going on.
She owed Pablo Escobar $30. These are desperate drug lords. I love when they do that because anyone who lives anywhere and has an ounce of sanity running through their brain just goes,
what?
Yeah.
No, the drug cartel didn't put a hit on the middle-aged Jewish woman who owed for a bag of weed.
The junior cop leans over to the older cop. Should I write this down? Don't write this down.
See if you can find any connection romantically.
I've been looking at all. There's no one who really will confirm it. Basically, all accounts from friends are that their relationship was platonic and they had known each other for about 6 weeks.
All right.
But had been spending a lot of time together and had been going clubbing together. So there's a lot of smoke, but no one will say they were dating.
What are you waiting for, Ron?
Eternity now.
He apparently borrowed her Ferrari. This is one of the stories that pops up a lot of places and drove it to a lunch with a friend named Craig Clark. And according to Clark, he admitted the car was not his, but declined to say they were dating and rather said they were just friends.
Well, and why would you if you had a potentially abusive husband at home?
How old was he?
Ex-husband.
Did he have a girlfriend?
He was 25 at the age of his death. And she was 35.
Jesus.
He did not appear to have another romantic interest.
Well, I'm going to say, just in his memory, I hope he was interested. Because when you take a look at her, and you're single, and she's letting you drive the Ferrari, one should be interested.
She's not interested.
One of the best parts of the series was we all learned about a Brentwood hello.
What is a Brentwood hello?
Is that what it was called? Where the neighbors would sneak in, according to Faye, who played, from Friday Night Lights. I love her. Connie Britton.
Oh, I thought you meant the documentaries. Okay.
Oh, no, from the series. Yeah, I'm sorry. That the neighbors would sneak into each other's house and wake the men up with a little under the sheets mouth action.
Really?
Isn't that what they said in the series? Yeah,
that's a Brentwood hello?
They play the harmonica?
Call the Brentwood. Yes. It was a bluegrass band. They'd sneak them in every morning.
That makes a lot of sense. Wow.
Gonna bring that back.
Christy, you're moving to Brentwood.
That's called a Brentwood hello. But you say,
I think that's
wait a minute. You say the neighbors would sneak
Isn't
in?
That, yeah.
That can't.
That's what they said in the scripted series.
Recollection of this.
All right. So am I to believe? believe that you live in a condo in Brentwood and a hot chick from next door breaks into your condo in the wee hours and gives you a fluff while you're asleep?
Okay, welcome to your new apartment. Here are your keys. And
keys? See, what do I need keys for? I'm never going to lock this door. Spread the word.
I'm going to read you the quote.
You want the quote?
Yeah,
I would, because I would assume the Brentwood hello would be from people who lived in the condo with you, but the neighbors... sneaking in.
I told you about the HOAs. I told you about the watering schedule. Trash is Tuesday.
Brentwood hello. I'm sorry?
Brentwood hello is on Wednesday evening.
Simpsons yeah, hold on. Hold on a second. First, I'll tell you about Patreon. Oh, yeah. Now available. Patreon.com/AdamCarolla. Take a knee. Just $5 a month. Lots of motivational stuff there. John Campion, that guy built all the generators. Guy was like a loser roadie guy. Now he's like a kajillionaire, builds huge generators for whole villages. Gina Grad on as well, many, many others. And it's easy. I'm donating 10% of everything to the National Alliance for Mental Health. A good win-win situation. So have some good content, get a little cash to a very worthy cause. That's patreon.com/AdamCarolla. Support the pirate ship. It's nice. All right. How does the Brent... So the yes. Here
go
we go,
it, Gary.
The quote is, Simpson was a warm and giving friend and a generous neighbor. Once, Faye D. recalls, Simpson slipped into the house of a sleeping hunk next door, wordlessly lifted up the sheets, and gave him a Brentwood hello.
Oh.
And if it's...
This
it
is
has
not
its
OJ.
Own, no.
It said Simpson. I was like, what the hell?
Nicole. And if it has its own moniker, you'd think that it happened more than once in the community.
Trademark.
Yeah.
TM. That's what I do.
Live next door. All right. All right. So we'll get more of that in the news. Let's talk to, is that Tal 50? India.
Indiana?
Oh, Indiana.
Less
Sorry.
Exotic.
I don't have my glasses. Sorry. No, he has a weird name like Tal, so it kind of screwed me up. But go ahead, Tal.
Hey, Adam. First time, long time. Gina Ball, big fans of the show.
Thanks.
Anyway, one of the things that I do on my job is refer a Fortune 500 tech company, and I monitor our web traffic. And one of the things that I noticed is month after month, I see all these countries, but one country seems to almost always be missing, and that's Mexico. And I flash back to your rant about driving the space shuttle around and kind of rubbing it in their face. I always thought that was hilarious. So,
thank you. Yes, my plan, for those who want to know, I think it was in my book, President Me, which is when they were driving the space shuttle, they did it sort of like the Spruce Goose in the 40s. They were driving flatbed trucking the space shuttle to the Air Museum, the Air and Space Museum out downtown, right across from USC. Trying to think of where it must have came from. Oh,
I think it came from Edwards.
Edwards,
right?
Yeah, probably. They had to truck it. Anyway, I said they should keep going down the 405, get to the Tijuana border, and do a couple of victory laps, and go, listen, put down the giant guitar and pick up a mechanical pencil, and you too could have one of these one day. And as a matter of fact, we're done with this.
Yeah.
We're bored. We're tired of sailing to the moon in this.
We're going to let kids look at it with wonder.
Yeah, Sprinter's going to just turn into a giant bouncy castle made out of titanium. It costs the taxpayers $200 billion. But understand this thing, we're bored.
We're done with it.
We're done. It's yesterday's technology. We're retiring it.
Wait, it actually went from LAX.
Oh, one from LAX. Yeah. Oh, it flew on a jet.
Right.
Cargo.
It flew.
So its trek through the city was only 12 miles.
One of the craziest, I still think, as a taxpayer, I would have happily chipped in for an extra ride down the 405. Now, the thing that's crazy is about that plane, well, there's many crazy things about it. It's crazy that it comes in under no power. It has no ability to do anything but glide.
Just glides in.
Once it re-enters over Rio de Janeiro, once it comes over Brazil or wherever it comes out, it lands in Edwards Air Force Base. Right on the same spot.
It's insane.
With no way to propel itself other than gliding. My God, that's a compliment. It's like, we strap it on top of a 747. We just fly that way. It's like, that thing weighs 80 million tons. How? I know you're getting some lift from the wings, but it seems like a
tall ask.
Yeah. Man, are we good when we want to be. All right. Sorry. So what does this have to do with Mexico again, as far as your job?
Well, it was just that all, out of the 110 tech products that our group is responsible for, I list the top five countries that visit those web pages every month, so our business development people know where the business is coming from, where the visits are coming from. And I just happened to notice that Mexico, you know, being our neighbor to the south, you would think that maybe they would show up a little more often. And I'm looking at countries like Oman and Mongolia and Slovenia, you know, they're checking out our technology.
Wow.
But Mexico is often left, you know, they're just not visiting. So it just kind of made me think back to that time where you were kind of rubbing it in their face about not being, there's no tech innovation going on down there. And it just made me think, shouldn't they be there, you know?
Well, I think this is interesting, which first off, you can't judge. But now let's do nothing but judge. Who's at the top of the list of countries, nations that check out your innovations?
No, you get Canada, UK, South Korea, you know, countries like that.
Yeah.
Can you describe the innovations without boring us?
Oh, Brian.
Let's just say defense contractor.
Gotcha.
Well, I guess what he's just saying is it's innovations in technology, and you could probably, much like you could students, who wants to sign up for the science fair? Yeah. You could probably do a straight line between how good the students were,
sure,
and then me and Ray and Chris, who Ray would wipe his ass with the sign up sheet and then shove it into the box. So
who's downloading applications for this particular university?
Right.
Yeah. But this is one of those things where it's not a definitive scientific study, but it's a decent way of taking the nations. And I'll bet you there's not a lot of surprises at the top or the bottom. Like when you hear, Canada's up there, you go, okay, it's Canada. Yeah, makes sense. When you hear Mexico, you go, makes sense. The question with Mexico is, how do you get them out of this and into this? It's so weird that there's Canada, there's us, and there's Mexico. How do you...
You move Israel over there.
Yeah, in the Baja Peninsula, right?
Yeah, everyone thinks I'm kidding.
That's right.
My God, would that work? My God, they need Jews.
Military strike would do it, too. They'd sort of start looking up defense contractors' websites.
No. Military, and then we just move in.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As I said in the book, when it comes to Israel, they're ironically short on bean counters. Thank you. It's powerful. Thanks, Tal.
Yep. Thanks.
Tal Bachman. She's so high.
That's
the only
other
tall in the world.
That's the name of the band?
The name of the guy.
Oh, the guy.
Huh?
I never knew who sung this song.
One
and
wonder.
The song.
One and wonder, and the only other tall on earth.
Yeah, K-Rock would play.
This is a hit.
Yeah, it was a hit. If you know it, it's a hit. Trevor, 37, Nashville.
Hey, Adam.
What's going
How you
on?
Doing, man?
What's going on?
Not too much.
All right.
Paul, Gina.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
I just wanted to tell you that you probably don't remember it, but I had tweeted you on Tuesday afternoon saying that I was listening to your show while I was waiting for my wife to go into labor, and your voice was the last thing I heard before I became a dad.
Thank you. I do remember the tweet. I saw it. It said you're waiting, and I said, if it's a girl, name it after me.
Well, we kind of did. We went in not knowing what it was.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Old school.
So we spent 8.5 months not knowing anything, and then in the span of about 10 hours, I went from being at work on a normal day to being a dad.
You should have done what Brian did. Brian and Christy went to a Farrell's, ordered a zoo, told the guy, if it's a boy, bring blueberry ice cream. If it's a girl,
you're bashing the story pink, a little bit, but that's more or less correct. That's more or less correct.
Keep the drum beat. Right. Come running in with the siren blowing and everything.
A little ceremonial dance would be nice. It doesn't have to be choreographed. It'd be nice, but not to be choreographed.
Yeah. So
what'd you get?
We had a girl.
Muzzle tov. And little Adam.
What name did you go with?
Allison.
Oh, that's a nice name.
Beautiful.
Old school throwback.
One L or two?
Yeah. Two. We went with the traditional spelling.
And it's good. It's just better because when people go to spell it, they just don't have to correct them. And I would hope, actually, if people, I do, what people should do, thank you, is when it comes to names and everything in life, I was once playing, it was, I don't know if it was Charades, Pictionary, or whatever it was. Can't remember what it was. But I was just writing down the couple's names. And
to remind yourself who was in the room?
No, it was
part of the game.
Well, you're keeping score.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It was a keeping score, yes, okay. And there was a Kathy, and I just wrote down a Kathy, like C-A-T-H, and she's like, that's with a K. Yes. And I just thought, totally unnecessary for what we're doing. If I'm at the DMV, by all means, you know? And so...
Did she grab a pint of Haagen-Dazs and go, ack!
With people...
Timely.
Thank you.
With people, when it comes to names or spellings or pronunciations, I have people, I'll have people like go, Alan, come here, whatever. And I'll just start walking over because I know they either meant to say Adam or I don't know them very well and I'm never going to see them again. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. And why make myself uncomfortable and them uncomfortable by correcting them or get into this thing, which you get into, which is they go, I said Adam, and you go, no, you said Alan. And they go, I said Adam. Like, I like when the people really stand by it. It's like, my name's Adam, and
I'm
you
used
think
to
I do this all day long? Every third person says Adam.
Adam.
You said Alan.
That was a big criteria.
By the way, I don't snore. Go ahead.
That was a big criteria for us when we were naming Tessa, because Christy and I both have names that can be spelled a number of different ways. Christy, of course, with a K and a Y and all that stuff.
Yours the right way and
the right way. The wrong way, that's right. And so Tessa, we wanted, like, if you're giving your name over the phone or to a survey taker or to anyone, there's really one way to spell it. We eliminated a lot of names that have multiple versions.
And it's not Tina, Dina, I can say Nessa.
Right. Tessa. There's really not too many ways you could.
It's a little exotic, but there's no other way. There's nothing to mistake it for, and it's easy to spell. And then every once in a while, there's the, I remember...
Vanessa? I'm sure I'll get that once, but...
I knew a Catherine, and it'd be like, are you a Catherine with a K or C's? Oh, please, do I look like one with a K? I don't know, sweetheart.
Stop
like,
it.
Really? That's this...
I'm surprised you think
that. You have strong feelings about this? I'm
surprised you think that.
All right, let's see. One more, and then we'll do some news. Austin.
Ah, finally.
30, Oklahoma City.
Hello, hello. Yeah, so my question is, and you always say no one wants your advice or takes it, but I'm an observer of the world, 30, but poor as hell, made some not great life choices. So you're an observer of the world, and I think the perfect person to get an opinion on this is you. What is, like, a lawn cutting, pool cleaning, power washing, what is some kind of career or job that a guy with some slight business sense and just person sense should start?
Dustless sandblasting.
Dustless sandblasting, okay.
Yeah. Oklahoma
Why
City.
Dustless sandblasting?
Well, you can get your own rig.
Feels very niche.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But hold on.
Mm.
But hold on. Graffiti removal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's just say guy's got himself Oklahoma, lots of guys, lots of rust, lots of trucks, lots of guys wanting to do their own thing with the trucks. Guy's got a truck. He wants to redo the truck himself, but the truck's old rust bucket and it's covering everything. He's got to take this thing. He has to take it to like a sandblaster. Sandblasting makes a mess.
Sure.
It's a dusty, dirty mess. They have a new system. Well, good. Even better. They have a new system. You have a rig. There's a company. They line you out with the T-shirt and all the stuff you need. You hook up the hose to the rig, and now they sandblast it with water and the product,
the media,
sorry, walnut shells or silica sand or whatever it is. You guys don't realize when you're dealing with cutting masonry, if you get water in there, it stops the dust. When you are
I do know this because I helped you cut your marble fireplace face for Malibu home.
You did.
And you kept squirting it with water. Yeah. You had a crazy thing because it's marble. It's hard to cut.
Diamond blade. That's right. Dustless sandblasting, Austin.
He took off to go do
from
it.
From a bank?
I don't know. Gary, go online. See what they... See, your slogan is, we dust the competition.
Yep.
Or blast.
Perfect.
Right.
I'll look into it.
Look into dustless sandblasting.
How much overhead is that going to take? Like, how much does it cost to get the unit?
You need a truck to hook up the rig to. Okay. The rig, I imagine you could get for some nominal down payment and then X amount of payments a month to pay off your rig. And then you, like I said, I think the company will give you like a shirt with the name on it and some business cards or something that'll get you going. Gary will look it up.
I think I see a rig here for about 10 grand.
That, look up the company. That or aquarium cleaning. Everyone has aquariums and they all need to be cleaned.
That's
not okay.
Hold on. Let me amend that. Almost nobody has an aquarium.
They never need to be cleaned.
And they all need to be cleaned, but no one will pay for it.
The first company that comes up is just called Dustless Blasting.
Yeah. What's their deal? Could they have some sort of deal where you give them something down and make a payment or something like that? This is what I hope Sonny does one day. All right. Let's see. Let me tell you guys about a good deal. True Car. Shopping for that car. Make sure you get a real price on actual inventory. People configure cars online, only find out they're not available. Not with True Car. You get real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from actual certified dealers who actually have the product on them. And then you lock in your price, and then you go pick it up. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So if you're going to go new, or you're going to go use, you go True Car. They save, if you use it, save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. Once again, if you want new, used, previously owned, as we like to say, maybe you need a Ford F-150 to haul around that dustless sandblasting rig. You go to True Car, you see what others paid for the exact same car, and you enjoy a more confident buying experience, new or used. It is True Car.
All of their pricing appears to be, you have to send in a contact info and then they get back to you, but there is definitely financing available.
Well, there you go. Dustless sandblasting. What are we doing here, Gina Grant?
Well, I forwarded something over to Gary the other day, and I would love to show you a sign that's just a few blocks from my house in the South Bay that I took a picture special for you. I'm sorry, I put you on the spot. Do you have it?
The one today?
Okay, no, the sign, the
in the
customers.
Frame. Yeah, I got it.
Sure, great. So, you know, it's usually like no shirt, no shoes, no service, or, you know, we welcome you here. Well, there's a pressed juice place right near my house that has this sign displayed in their window. Oh, no, not that one. Sorry, from the other day. He'll get it in a moment. Let's just say it's a family-friendly neighborhood, lots of kids running around. And I've seen this now at two locations, so they might have rolled it out to however many franchises they have.
Two locations, but the same franchise.
Same sign and same, yes, and the same juicery.
Same juicery.
That's a thing now. Oh, and I also saw a kebabbery.
Oh, kebabbery.
That's what it's called.
I'm all right with a kebabbery.
Yeah. I like that, too.
Gary, I can resend it if you...
I also picture just sort of selling my parents when I was a kid on buying me $7 worth of juice. Like, are you kidding? That's your whole back-to-school clothing budget. What, you want to drink that?
All right.
And the thing that I will never wrap my mind around, which is my kids and Lynette can go get these things, take two draws off them, and just set them by the entry hall door and let them sweat out.
It's
and it's like,
gold.
I have a few items, which is if I order that pressed juice, whatever, I will drink half of it and then fill it back with water and shake it up and get a second kind of hit off it.
Second drink.
So it's welcome all.
It says welcome all. Welcome all beliefs, all colors, all countries, all sexual identities. And then it says, we do not serve racists, sexists, homophobes, or assholes.
So how does that work?
Like, what if your belief is that you don't like minorities?
Right.
You're not getting a juice there.
They welcome all beliefs.
You walk in there and you're like, excuse me, I'm from the Klan. Do you have handicapped horse parking? Oh, let me just set this cross down for a minute. Oh, I could use some electrolytes. Yeah. All right. This is beating off into a ceiling fan. It's a we're now in a competition amongst adults.
Do you have white corn? It's very important to me.
The generation before us was, your grandfather. Well, he actually lied about his age. He signed up for the military when he was 16 and a half. He was in one of the first Higgins crafts that hit the beach in Normandy, and he never talked about it. That's
the quiet dignity.
That's where we were.
Yep.
This is assholes going the other direction.
And I that was the first thing I thought about when I passed it for the second location, the second time, is that's a pretty safe choice. You're in a really progressive neighborhood. It's 2017.
For people outside the area, they're in a very...
We all agree with you. We're clapping
no
along.
No one's not identifying with that sign.
Exactly. But you take that business and you put it 50 years ago in another part of the country, and I would consider that was a pretty brave thing to do. This, not so brave. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the opposite of brave.
Exactly. But I'm saying if this was 1960
this was
in Alabama,
Selma, yeah.
That would be something courageous. This is not courageous.
Yeah. Clearly. And also, seeing as how you have no way to identify racists and no way to identify people that are closed off in their feelings or
whatever.
It'll
be the honor system.
But here's what.
Got a juice here for Duke David. Duke, comma David. Your pizza plenty is ready.
All I'm saying is. It's not knowable, so now it's just grandstanding. And also, but also, who cares, right? Like, we're all done with the coexist bumper stickers and stuff. The reason I say is because I'm confounded by people who keep participating in this story. I was telling Drew about a story. Do you have that? Was it the HuffPo story? Somebody tweeted me. Again, I get all my information from you guys. You guys send me stories that sometimes delight me, sometimes exacerbate me. But there's a story. Where was that restaurant the couple out of, Gary? Do you remember? Midwest something?
Idaho, I think. But let me...
I thought Idaho, too. They had decided they're hip-hop fans, and they were wanting to open a restaurant with a Southern cuisine sort of... South
soul food, like
home soul food, home cooked, Southern cuisine
comfort
with a
food, yeah.
with a hip hop theme, and it was called Me So Hungry.
And they didn't serve miso.
That's kind of clever.
Yeah, it was kind of clever, except for HuffPo got hold of it, and people are outraged. People are outraged, except for nobody's outraged.
They had to kind of manufacture it,
right?
I'd say so, because there's some great stuff in it.
Iowa, by the way, sorry.
They're from Iowa. They're white people who happen to love hip-hop music, which, again, they've appropriated or racially appropriated or whatever, and it's like, I don't think loving... I love the Showtime Lakers. They're all black. What does that mean?
Kurt Rambis is devastated.
Sorry. Most of them.
The eighth man on the team.
Yeah. What does that mean? I mean, everyone loved Michael Jackson or whoever. What does that mean?
Jimmy Iovine will tell you that the hip-hop culture was sold to probably these two restaurant owners when they were teenagers or consuming this. Where it was sold to them. You know, it was packaged and sold, mass marketed to white teenagers.
Would you like some of the quotes from there?
So you can't be upset when they then, like, you know, becomes part of their...
Get on
they
board.
Love. Let's hear... They love because part of their lifestyle.
Tell me some of the quotes. And again...
They're not using the N-word. Are they using the N-word?
They
change things dramatically.
The Huffington Post doesn't care about this either.
Sure.
They're just pushing it out there, but go ahead.
Some people have accused Couture and Greening, the co-owners, who are white.
When did this become acceptable? Just a pause. Who are white?
Sounds like 50
you know, it's
years
like
ago.
The cop who is white. Okay.
Of co-opting black hip-hop and food culture, according to the Iowa Informer. Commenters on the restaurant's Facebook page have also said that Miso Hungry is insensitive to Asians as it plays off the stereotypical Miso Horny line from a Vietnamese sex worker in the movie Full Metal Jacket.
Right. Except
but
for...
was sampled in the Two Life Crew in one of their bigger hits.
Yeah. Well, not even but. That's what their reference point is.
You can't
have
it both ways.
No,
if this is being sold to a group, that group can then consume it and finds their way into their life as
the point
is
when HuffPo does the article on the hip-hop restaurant, they go hip-hop. Now it's not convenient for them to reference hip-hop because we're talking about Asians, so we jump past Two Live Crew, which of course if you Google in Me So Horny, the first 10 things that come up is Two Live Crew lyrics from song, whatever it is. You'd have to search for a while before you got to the movie. Right. But what HuffPo does is they do the racially insensitive part with all the black, and now we got to pile on Asians. So how do we do that? Well, we can't do Two Live Crew. We'll just hop past the super obvious reference that clearly they were referencing when they opened the Me So Hungry Cafe, being the old school hip hop fans, and we'll go right to Vietnam.
To your point, when you put in Me So Horny...
You're just a horrible writer, by the way, yes.
When you put in Me So Horny, the first 10 things are Two Live Crew. One of them is a Wikipedia page. You go to it, and it's not until the end of the second graph that they even reference Full Metal Jacket.
Well, the person that writes the article is not piling on. They're lying to make a point. Mm. They know what they're doing. They're talking about hip-hop and being culturally insensitive, and if that worked as a theme for when they get to the Asians, they would use that, but it's not. So they have to jump past the super obvious Two Live Crew reference and decide that it was pulled from a movie that's 40 years old.
Yeah, I don't like the part where this is the end result of that mass marketing. When you try to get your thing out to everyone, and then someone in that group of everyone is now using it in their, like, it's part of their life now. You can't have it both ways. You sold it. You made your money off of selling this thing through to the populace.
Now
it's out there.
And it's at the point where it's like, you can't be white and open a taco stand.
That happened in, was it Oregon or Washington? Those two women, shut their stand down. Also,
as I've said, and I really mean it, never been a better time to be an actual racist. You're being lumped in.
We can't go to the juicery in Gina's neighborhood.
I passed this headline the other day, and it really stuck with me. You know, you think liberal, you think left-leaning, you think, you know, colorblind, free, you know, be with whoever you want. It's a non-issue. Well, this is the headline talking about, Brian, you saw The Big Sick, right? Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, I liked it.
And I don't know how much is based on a true story or their relationship.
Largely.
Okay, so he's with a white girl. I don't know
if
that's
true. He's married to Emily Gordon, yeah.
Okay, great. So it's his story. I heard it's wonderful. And the headline talking about the movie is, I'm tired of watching brown men fall in love with white women on screen.
Oh, boy.
Get that drop.
Please don't.
Yep.
So it's like, why that, to your point of just picking out the part that you want to highlight, why would you say that? It just seems so disrespectful to them, to Kumail and his wife.
Well, first off, I like that the left is just eating its own tail. Not liberals, the left, which is the thing they used to applaud a few short years ago.
This was progress. Depicting this in major motion pictures.
Now it's become completely acceptable, and now they're doubling back and deciding it wasn't. And yes, it's insane when people make racist remarks to make allegations of racism. Mm.
Yeah,
that's a special kind of irony.
And it would be a terrible and upsetting game for us to play, but if we pulled enough of these headlines from throughout the ages and would have to figure out what side politically they were on. I mean, this sounds like something you would have heard many decades ago, and people wouldn't have appreciated. I don't like seeing brown men with white women.
I could also...
Brian, please, I'm begging you.
I see this as a very powerful selling point, which is, hey, white woman, want a brown-skinned fella, but are scared of a huge, wide cock?
I only have so much room on this computer, please.
May interest you in an Indian fella. All right.
Let's just step down. It's the poor man's. It's the entry level.
Well, I'm just saying, you get the brown skin. You get the street cred and the brown skin without the chafing. That's all.
Best of both worlds.
That's right. All right. What do we got?
Want to do some news?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, finally.
Give you the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Now, since the show started today, there really hasn't been anything else breaking in terms of the O.J. verdict. We can go over a few of his quotes, or we can move on from it.
How about my heart when I found out I couldn't go to that smoothie joint in Venice?
Well, I'll just give you an overview. So they did, the Nevada Parole Board did grant O.J. Simpson parole. He said, I've done my time. I've done it as well and as respectfully as I think anyone can. He served 9 of the 9-to-33-year sentence for armed robbery and kidnapping in Las Vegas. He's expected to be released as early as October. He plans to move to his home in Florida. He's 70 now. He says his they say Simpson's energy and charm seemed little affected by his time behind bars. It's from CNN. He was alert, engaged, and quick to smile at the parole hearing, even letting out a hearty laugh when parole board chairman Connie Bisbee accidentally said he was 90. He let out a big laugh and said, oh, I feel like it. So it was very jovial.
Juiced.
That exists. That
does.
That exists somewhere online. So he was very, you know, quote unquote, charming, jovial. And they said these things usually take 15 to 20 minutes. This took well over an hour because he wouldn't stop talking. He's just talking. It went at least 45 minutes over. And at one point, he kind of raised his hand like he had something else to say. And the man sitting next to him, his counsel, put his hand down for him. Mm-hmm. So, like, stop. Now you can only get yourself in trouble.
I'm going to start a restaurant called Miso Talky.
Miso Chatty.
So he needs to be out front. He needs to be in the limelight. I think he needs the camera. He needs the exposure. He needs the attention. And he's kind of like, you know, when a hot chick starts losing the looks and they start dressing provocatively and talking sexy and discussing a spread in Playboy or something. You notice, like,
and they can say the crazy things that they would have gotten away with 10 years ago because everyone's like,
well, they didn't have to say it 10 years ago.
Not anymore. Yeah. And my prediction is that he will start discussing the murder case. And
he was headed down that road before.
Yes, and he will say something, much like the chick who's out of options, and you go, but she would never do porn. It's like, yeah, well, she's got to make money, and this is about the only, you know, Avis isn't knocking. This is pretty much it.
Hurts.
Yeah, it hurts, sorry.
Either way.
No, but I'm saying Avis. Yeah. I was going to get to all Alamo and all the other car companies.
Yeah. Dollar National.
Dollar now. So, Alamo is such a weird name for a rental car company. It's like a bunch of guys die in a fort made of mud. Yeah, I think it's Mobilis. See the country. The notion that this is it. Like, this is all anybody wants to hear about. And if you can, you know, if you can do the Monica Lewinsky thing and sort of get on with it,
right?
I think you can get on with it. But if you're Monica Lewinsky and you're 70 and all anyone wants to know about is you and the president and you need to make money and you need to be out front and you need people to do interviews with you, this is going to be it.
Yeah.
And I predict there's going to be, he's going to get older, his brain's going to get a little more feeble, and he's going to surround himself with crazy people in Florida. And I predict there will be a weird pay-per-view, sit-down, lie detector. There's going to be something. He's not done.
Sideshow.
There's going to be a sort of Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather sort of thing that's going to come.
Some circus.
Of this.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yes or no question for both of you. Will Donald Trump golf with him?
Oh.
In Florida, Mar-a-Lago.
Will he be seen? Will there be photographic evidence Donald Trump golfing with him?
No, I don't, not because I don't believe Donald Trump would golf with him, but I believe that everybody within 4 feet of Donald Trump would, like, tackle him. Not that he's controllable.
A lot of people like him did a lot less of a lot of things.
The tweets are hard to control. He's waking up in the middle of the night, but
on the crapper. Yeah.
Right. But this is kind of plannable, controllable, gets on a schedule.
So you say no?
I say no. I think the people around him does he like OJ?
Well,
I know he respects him, but I don't know if he likes
him. The more I think about Donald Trump, I think he likes driving a lot of people nuts. And I think this would drive a lot of people nuts.
Yeah, I think.
Especially on the left.
I'm going to take the other side and I say absolutely, because they both like the attention. They like to be around other people with attention. And Trump might position it as saying, I respect our legal system. They made, the parole board paroled him because he served his time. So this is a shining example of the legal system. You never know how he would spin it.
So you think there's a better than average chance?
Yeah.
No.
In Florida, Mar-a-Lago,
I'll go with a outside slim chance. Just because I don't think if they were golf buddies. Uh-huh. I don't know if they were golf buddies before. But
let's amend it. This will be much lesser. Do you think there's a good chance that living in Florida, he will be a member of Mar-a-Lago? He will frequent that particular golf course.
They're not letting the blacks in, but
not the southern Mar-a-Lago. I know.
We can get them in the same room again.
We got a picture of young Trump, young OJ, and the Jewish-looking man.
And Moshe Kasher in back.
There's a few of them.
And Luis Guzman on the side.
They at least knew each other.
But you could find, between OJ and Trump, you could find 3,000 pictures of three. You name a luminary. There's a
picture of OJ and Howard Stern on the back of Howard Stern's book, because years earlier he had taken a picture with him.
Right.
Because OJ has a picture with everyone.
Charles Lindbergh, you could throw out, there'd be young OJ standing next to an airplane and him.
Pose.
Right. Yeah. But no, I there can't be a better than average chance.
All I know is I wouldn't be surprised.
I would be surprised, but I wouldn't say it's impossible.
I'd say it's below average chance, but at 5-1 odds, for example, I would absolutely take that bet.
Oh.
Now we play the waiting
20%
game.
20% chance? Mm-hmm. Well, first off, OJ's got to get in the golf club, and he's got to get some money, and he owes a ton of money. And those golf clubs are $100,000.
I think at some point,
way more. So says, yeah. I mean, it's like the original. You give him $100,000, and then it's $100,000. Then it's $200,000 a year, or whatever it is, or something insane.
I think I read that Mar-a-Lago is up to like a quarter or a $500,000 in entry fees, and then it's close to six figures per year, and there's a minimum you must spend each month, or they just charge you.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pricey.
A lot of people making dinner reservations on the 29th.
Yeah, so I'm going on no, but it'd still be funny.
Yeah. True. Well, some sad news learned just this morning, Thursday morning. TMZ and Billboard are reporting that Linkin Park frontman Chester Bennington has reportedly committed suicide at age 41. TMZ reports Bennington hung himself at a Palos Verdes estate residence in L.A. Bennington struggled with drugs and alcohol addictions various times during his life. He was married, survived by six kids.
Hey.
The band's most recent album, One More Light, topped the Billboard 200 earlier this year. Apparently, he and Chris Cornell were very good friends. Yeah. Cornell, of course, took his life in May. Chester even wrote an open letter to Cornell after the suicide. I have it, but it's not much more is known right now as to what happened.
Can I see another picture of him, Gary, that you're putting up from a little earlier?
He was a love line a number of
his
times.
His career, yeah.
I've only heard nice things about him.
Well, not only that, but the band Linkin Park was a massive band that people, I don't say... Not, they don't know how big that band was. It gets lumped in with like a lot of other bands from era or something, but they sold a ton of records.
They headlined a ton of those K-Rock shows. They were one of the biggest bands at that time.
I'm just looking at the picture you were showing. This didn't remind me of the Chester that I remember. But earlier, like in 10 years ago or something. But anyway, sad, weird. Yeah. What's going on?
I don't know. Well, and actually, I'll read you the end of this letter. Mm. This is apparently an open letter he wrote after Chris Cornell. He said he talks about a dream he had, and then talks about how what a beautiful, talented, pure soul Chris Cornell was. He says, "I can't imagine a world without you in it. I pray you find peace in the next life. I send my love to your wife and children, friends and family. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your life. All my love, your friend Chester Bennington." So.
Yeah,
how connected those were.
Dr. Drew just got the news earlier when he was here, and he's like off to the races. He knew Chester well, and he can't believe he committed suicide. So, I don't know. Drew was very. I don't believe he committed suicide. So,
a overdose situation. Or that's what he was thinking.
I don't. Well, it's hard to argue with hanging.
Yeah, exactly. It was a hanging involved.
Oh.
If that wasn't, I'm sorry, it wasn't in that article.
I don't remember. Sorry, I didn't
many
hear
articles.
Oh, he was sexually abused as a child.
Good boy.
This is why I want people who perpetrate sexual abuse to be punished.
Yeah, because there's a ripple effect.
It's a ripple effect, and it's a gift that keeps giving. You can molest someone when they're 9, and then they can kill themselves when they're 41, and they have to live with it every day in between that time and the time they finally choke the life out of themselves at their own hands. And versus, you know, being the victim of a hit and run, car accident or something. Yeah, your back gets screwed up or you break your hip or whatever it is, but you don't walk around a sort of broken shell of a person. And also, not statistically so much higher likelihood of you perpetrating that on somebody else.
It affects your relationships with your spouse, children, everything in the future.
A cycle.
And neighbors' children, depending on how where you're at and what happened to you. All right, that's sad, but let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Life Lock. FBI says over 1 billion lost internet scams in 2015. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring credit. Thieves can sell your information to the dark web. The dark web scares me. I don't want to go near the dark web. Yeah, you can get online payday loans in your name. Once they screw up your credit, you cannot unring that bell. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business. And LifeLock is the industry standard. It's 2017, people. Let's get going. I got it. Wife has it. Kids have it. Philly Cheesesteak has it. It's LifeLock, simply the best. Dawson.
Act now. Get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LifeLock or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam15. That's Adam15 to save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right. Let's see. Gina Grad.
Yeah.
I'm going to open up the news again.
All right. Actually, can I give you some, I don't want to call it breaking, but a weird email alert I just got that you might actually find very interesting.
Yes, you may.
It came up as an alert, which is a little clickbaity because it's really just a PR thing.
What's the news?
I'm telling you. There's a dude, Gary Ballard. He's a trainer and former World Super Middleweight Championship fighter. Have you ever heard of him? The name sound familiar at all?
Gary Ballard. No.
Okay, well, apparently he has a new career. He teaches boxing over at the Senior Living Center in Rancho Santa Margarita because he thinks that strengthening your body and mind as an elderly person can really be done best through boxing. I just got this alert.
I always drives me nuts. Rancho Santa Margarita. Rancho
Santa Margarita. By San Diego?
It's too many names, right? County. Yeah, it's Rancho Santa Margarita.
I'm not really a news person. So I don't live in the OC, Brian.
OC's on his way.
Watching
senior boxing? Tell me more.
But that sounds kind of fun, right?
No.
Okay.
Not for me.
All right, never mind.
I want to teach young, nubile people to box. My gym, there's nothing better. The chicks are at their hottest in two arenas, bikinis and working out.
There's one more.
No. That's not when they're at their hottest.
I know what you're saying.
Their hottest is at the beach because it's like civilian hot.
Yep.
And working out hot. It was one of the perks when I was a trainer, except for because it was me and because of my technique and nasally drone and attitude, I'd weeded out every hot chick and had a group of 9 doofus dudes who took my boxing class Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6:30 in the a.m., and then I think Saturday and Sunday at like 7 o'clock. Those are the only, there were no chicks. I'd worked out this boxing curriculum that just eliminated all females because...
First, grab your balls.
You're right. Oh, it was all like technique. It wasn't like the other guys would just, Mike Weaver former heavyweight champ Mike Weaver. Find a picture of him at his most muscular, but you will freak out over Mike Weaver. If you ever want to talk about just sort of genetic specimen and like what the difference is, you know, Vinny Tortorich will come in here and go, hey, you got to do more cardio or you got to lift more weights or whatever. Or you could just be Mike Weaver.
Yeah, I'd cut out the middleman.
And just be a crazed specimen. But he was like 45. He's still built like an Adonis.
And he had that chest hair that was like pilled.
And he didn't lift. He'd be at the gym, like on the treadmill and stuff. And he'd just be like, punch low, punch high, punch low, punch high. And all the little secretaries would be punching slow. And he'd go, now punch high, punch high, now punch low. And their technique was horrible. They'd just be standing with their legs all squared up, their hands down on their waist, like punch, punch, punch. Now punch high. Oh, punch high. Oh, did I say that? Punch low. Yeah, punch low. They just like punch low.
I'm really getting a lot out of this.
And all they were doing is standing there and sweating. What a brick shithouse that guy was. Also, I love it with the brothers. All of that and no waist. Mm-hmm. Those guys whose waist just dies into their shorts?
His drawstring is being tied quite tight to stay up.
You know the brothers that have that where it's like, where are your hips? Where is your waist? Like, it can't just die. It's like, it just goes away. Just goes away. Inverted, like, this guy's
V,
with
the triangle.
They're big traps. Their lats and traps just go right down, and it just goes. You see me, you'll see it hit my waist. You'll see, like, oh, there's his waist. There's his hip. Like, there's a bone. Where's his bone? It just goes down.
Where is his bone?
It just keeps going.
Easy, Gina.
Sorry.
Anyway.
He's very good looking.
Let's never forget.
Yeah, I don't like seeing brown men with white women. Ryan, please.
Find a newer picture of him. I swear to God, that guy was in his 40s, and he's such a brick house. He was a nice guy. Punch low. Punch high. Punch low. Punch high. And I was like, I'm going to teach everyone how to punch. But of course, there was less calories being burnt.
The one we put up before was the most impressive one that we've found thus far.
When it was up. I also like when guys, he's making muscles now.
This is the less impressive picture.
The poor belt can't even stay up because he has no hips. But I love it when guys take their biceps and break it off into like four area codes. Like, here's the frontest, here's the frontal part of my bicep. Then there's my backus part. There's the middle. And there's a big crevasse that runs down. And it's like,
the midsep.
What about just a lump? Like, you can't even get a, four or five biceps? Like, why? You see, his bicep has different climates to it. Like,
topography.
Microclimates.
Yeah.
Up here, you can breathe just fine.
Oh, man.
That's an action shot.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that guy was such a brick house.
Whatever happened to him?
He was turned away from the press juicery.
He was teaching at, Bodies in Motion. He moved into my apartment. When I moved out of my apartment, he moved into my apartment in Santa Monica. And then he fought with his, he had his, I'd say, half triplet brothers who worked there too. Lloyd, Floyd, and Troy.
Oh, they were triplets and half brothers to him.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
See if you can figure that out.
You said half triplet brothers.
Half
blood twins.
Half triplet brothers. Yeah. Half brother triplets to him. Floyd, Lloyd, and Troy, who I used to teach with at the class.
Oh, should have been Troy.
They all taught too. I have to figure out where those guys are and went to them. But they would do the same thing. Punch low, punch high, punch low.
That was the technique they subscribed to.
Was get all the hot chicks in there doing the punching and sweating.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to work out.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, I'm a boxing coach. I'm going to teach people how to box, which just left me total sausage party.
Me so talky.
bunch of 44-year-old dudes. But good guys.
But good guys. No, hell of boxers.
But no hot chicks in the workout apparel.
Yeah.
Second sexiest to the bikini and the beach. All right. I'll tell you about Blue Apron, number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service. Love this. Less than $10 a meal. New recipes created each week. Never repeated for within a year. So they go a whole year without repeating. Takes 40 minutes or less. Upcoming meals. Seared chicken and creamy pasta salad. Chili butter steaks. Ooh, with Parmesan, potatoes, and spinach, fresh basil, fettuccine with sweet corn. Oh, yeah. Delivery options to fit your every needs. No weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Check it out, this week's menu, and get three meals for free with free shipping. BlueApron.com/Adam. Yeah, this stuff is just better. All I'll say is, I think in any time you see something online, you order it, or your wine club, or beer of the month, or cheesecake, or whatever it is, there is that moment where you kind of open the box and you have a feeling.
Bunch
and
the stuff, yeah.
The feeling is kind of like, eh, or it's, oh, hey. And I think whatever it is, curtain rods, whatever, when you open that box, you kind of go, not quite what the picture looked like. Yeah, it's just a feeling. And with Blue Apron, when you open the box, you go, oh, good.
That's it.
That's the feeling you have. I don't know what else to tell you. You will be satisfied. BlueApron.com/Adam. Get the three meals for free. It's BlueApron.com. Better way to cook. Did we figure out where Troy and Floyd and Lloyd were? Yes. He has a younger brother, the triplets, known as the Fighting Weavers. Are they all related?
That's what this says, yeah.
There are no half-brothers.
It says that there is younger brothers.
Yeah. Wow. Well, there's two factors. One is there's a cultural factor.
Could be something else.
The second factor is Troy was a light heavyweight, but that's like 176 pounds. Lloyd and Floyd were like middleweighters, like 150-something. Mm-hmm. And Mike is a brick house at like 240.
Oh my God.
So you can't imagine that this guy, this brick house, has a couple of brothers at 160 pounds. It just never made sense to me that these two guys all came from the same place.
But, is it a triplet thing? I know that twins and triplets, I don't know if they're slightly smaller. I don't know.
Everything's on the table when it comes to the Weavers. Everything. I've said it once, I'll say it again.
It's a cliche for a reason.
Good guys. Had a good time working with the Weaver brothers. Punch high.
August should book them.
Punch low. Yeah, August, book the Fighting Weaver trip.
Focus pads.
All right, Irvine Improv. That's the podcasting masterclass. It's coming up August 5th. We're all going to be out there teaching you everything you need to know. Oh, Gary's got
something. Another article that also identifies them as brothers, and it identifies the triplets as numbers 9, 10, and 11 in the Weaver clan.
Now it's making sense. All right.
Definitely not a Jew.
Chassis got a new offering, Chassy. King of the Underdogs. Watch that. I think you're going to enjoy it a lot. Stallone's in that bad boy. Corolla Drinks coming up Saturday, July 29th. South Bay Customs and El Segundo. Go to Corolla Drinks, say hi, and all that good stuff. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say mahalo.
I'm a smoker. You have no idea what I'm capable of. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail with your questions and comments at 888-634-1744. I think that's the number. I don't have a piece of paper in front of me. Try it. For tickets and info on everything, go to our website, adamcarolla.com, and come out to Rock at the Shop. Saturday, July 29th in El Segundo, California. Tickets at CorollaDrinks.com.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.